All right, well, today is Mother's Day, and we thought that maybe it would be a little bit more honoring to mothers in the different seasons that you guys are in to actually hear that from a mother, as opposed to a preacher or somebody who's not a mother. So we wanted to honor all the moms here today in a special way with greetings from some of our church.
To the moms, I know your story well. Having a newborn and being in awe of a child, or having a preschooler that seems awfully wild, knowing the joy of dropping them off at school, or having teenagers who no longer think you're cool. Being a mom of a graduate who realizes it's time for them to leave, or maybe a front row seat when it's time for them to marry and cleave. Being a mom who's a friend to a child now grown, your cup is full because they have always been loved and known. Today, I honor and bless you.
To the single mom, I know your story well, both the joy and the hardships. You have been the comforter, the disciplinarian, the provider, the nurturer. You have done this without a spouse, but you have not done it alone, for our Father says he is always with you. You are strong. Today, I honor you.
To the longing mom, I know your story well. Your heart yearns for the opportunity to have your own child. You have dreams of what your family could possibly look like, and yet your hands feel empty. Today, I honor and bless you.
To the mom who has a child in heaven, I know your story well. Your heart aches and tears sting because there is an ever so present absence of a child you mothered and mothered well. I see you. Today I honor and bless you.
To the foster and adoptive moms, I know your story well. Getting to bring a child into your home, love them as your own, and then they are sent away to another family. Or some came to stay, and you were able to give them the gift of a forever home. Today I honor and bless you.
To the special needs mom, I know your story well. The amazing love you feel for your child that the world so often doesn't accept. The loneliness, isolation, the days where you don't think you have the strength to go on. But you get to feel the amazing love, strength, and comfort and grace from God that you would have never felt otherwise. You're blessed to be able to see the world through a different lens, a world that makes you long for eternity as your home, where your child will be perfect and never feel the pain and isolation of this world. Today, I honor and bless you.
To the spiritual mom and stepmom, I know your story well. Whether it is by choice or circumstances, you don't have biological children, but you have embraced your calling and poured into others. You have mentored, blessed, raised up, spoken into, and mothered many who you would call your own. You have not allowed circumstances to hinder you from being a mother to so many. Today, I honor and bless you. Happy Mother's Day.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, ladies. Well said. In case you're new with us and you're a guest, I know we have family in many of those who read those. That was their story. And so what they've gone in, so they can genuinely say that to you all. I'm forever grateful for my mother. If it wasn't for her praying for me, dragging me to church, I don't know if I would have ever been here. So I'm grateful for her. And surprisingly, laugh if you want to, today, the message is called Lessons from Motherhood. And some of you may say, Tim, what do you know about motherhood? That's a good question. I've been mothered a lot. But more importantly, the Lord in his word, he gave us all sorts of pictures of moms who were older and younger, and some who did it well, and some who started off great and maybe didn't finish well, others who just needed grace. And we get to see their example over and over. So we have an encyclopedia of different moms that we can look towards. And today, just as we read already from 1 Samuel, we're going to look from 1 Samuel at the life of Hannah, and we're going to look at five lessons in motherhood. But I would just say before any, this is primarily for mothers and for ladies, but God's word is living and active, so if you find yourself being a distinguished gentleman or a dude or a young man or something of that, God's word can still speak to all of us through this. So let's look at God's word. 1 Samuel, we'll start off in chapter 1. Also, if you have a handout there, I would love for you to be able to take notes. And we're going to talk just a little bit about some lessons for motherhood. The very first one before we read, let me ask you real quick. We very much believe in the power of God's word. Can you guys see? Are there enough lights where you guys are at that you can see your scriptures? Okay, just want to make sure that you can see that. Okay, so the very first one, if in your notes, it's talking about Hannah. The very first lesson is this: Hannah suffered from comparison and doing without. Hannah suffered from comparison and doing without. And then let's read about this, and let me just explain. And maybe some of us would be able to find our commonality with her. We'll start off in verse 2 of chapter 1. It says, Elkanah had two wives. And listen to the comparison here, how starkly, the stark contrast. It says, the name of one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her, and therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Hannah, as you can see this very clearly, she suffered from comparison and doing without. So if I can just speak for a moment to the moms in the room, if 3,000 years ago before the internet and social media, some moms were struggling with comparison to other moms, I think that maybe it would be alive today. So if you're a mom in here and you have ever been the victim of mom envy, you don't have to raise your hand, but I think that that may be the case. Some moms, when they first have their child, like 3 days later, they're like completely look like they never had a child. They look perfect and they pose for a picture. And you're like, that's not real, right? And we compare, right? Some people found great encouragement from Meghan Markle, right, with Prince Harry, right? She showed like she was all beautiful and stuff, but she still had the baby bump, right? Which like 99.9999% of women still have after they have a baby, right? And so she didn't try to hide that or anything else. Good thing for comparison. But I wonder if you've ever compared in any other way. You see, some people with their babies are good-natured, good sleepers, good everything. And maybe yours aren't, right? Some would have babies while others would not. Some, as they grow up into elementary, some of you, your kids have some style, right? Or at least they'll listen to your style, right? Where others, you have to give this disclaimer, they dress themselves. They put that on, right? Some of kiddos, they have straight A's, right? Maybe trying really hard, or maybe that's just natural. Some of you get calls for other reasons. Your principal knows you by name because your student is so one of a kind, extraordinary, right? Some of us are working moms, and maybe we compare ourselves to stay-at-home moms, and some of us are stay-at-home moms, and we envision this life as the working mom. Some of you are just trying to survive, and yet the person down the street, like, feeds their kid only that which is organic, pureed, nice food, cloth diapers, right? And how in the world do they have enough money and time and patience for all of that, and we compare? Breastfed, bottle fed, and all sorts of other things. I just wonder if anybody in here has ever suffered from comparison. Now, those are pretty light topics there. I wouldn't really call that suffering. But for some of us in here, in a real serious note, maybe you have teenagers or young adults, and they didn't follow the way that you raised them in. I've talked with some of you, and it's almost paralyzing. You wonder if people compare you to others. You wonder if you're disqualified. You wonder maybe if you did something wrong. You carry that comparison, maybe if it's just in your own mind. For some of you, Hannah was not comparing herself to somebody who had better clothes. She didn't have any kids, and it was a real struggle that went to the core of who she was. That there were times she didn't eat. She was paralyzed in that. In that fear, in that loss, in that desire for hers. And so to know anything at all, just know this, that she suffered from comparison and doing without. Fellas, I say these things in your hearing because your words carry a lot. And if children go to the very core of a mom, of a female, I just want you to know that because within your words you have the power of life and death with your words. Say this with me. She suffered from comparison and doing without. Okay, and what did she do with that? The second thing is this. We'll read and continue on. But she took her burdens to the Lord. She took her burdens to the Lord. Don't mishear me here. We're not talking about her kids like burden number one and burden number two and burden number three. Because our children are not burdens, right? She took her burden, the fact that she could not have children, she took that to the Lord. She actually, she went to the temple. She went to the doors of the temple where Eli the priest was. She was going to go straight to the source. So this was no longer something that she's just praying quietly in the quietness of her own home. She is going before the Lord. It would be the same as maybe coming down to the altars and the priest hears her praying. And at one point, it's so passionate and her lips are moving, but no sound is coming out. So he thinks that she's been drinking. She's just praying passionately and burdened, bringing those to the Lord. So let's read this one more time. It says in verse 10, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit, and I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And then get this. Then the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. In her vexation and her anxiety, she did not blame the Lord. She did not run from the Lord. She continued to take her burdens to the Lord. And one of two things, her countenance changes. Either because she believed the priest who would say, hey, this is going to be done for you, or because she had simply laid down this thing that had been weighing on her so long, weighed her down, and she gave it to the Lord, but she walked away no longer sad. I wonder today, the burdens that you carry, and if anybody in here feels a little bit weighed down, I wanted just to give a little bit of a visual. This like holds some kick drums and some other stuff from our sound. I can carry it, but this is like a burden that some of you guys are carrying, right? And when you wake up in the morning, it's there. When you go to bed at night, it's there, right? You can maybe be happy and elated and you're having a good, like whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh no, it's there, it does not leave. And that's what is like burdens like Hannah had. Though her husband loved her, though there were some other things in life, she was being blessed. There was this burden that was weighing her down. And I just wonder whether it's in motherhood or children or things that didn't quite turn out the way you thought they would be or whatever you want to put up here. There's some of you here that you're carrying a heavy burden. And you can do it for a little while. But after a while, it starts to wear on you. It starts to begin to make you exhausted and tired. And so the Bible gives us a couple things to do with our burden. One, James, can I ask you to come on over here? So here's the deal. You can't like give your burdens to other people, right? But if somehow, can you like help carry this burden? So it's at least it's half as heavy, right? So when we were moving, we didn't have a place for like a month. And James is like, well, hey, come stay at our house for a month, like not with him. Like we didn't have like the top bunk and lower bunk, right? He's married, has kids. But they let us use like their rent house for a month. He helped just carry us through that. But here's the deal. When you ask somebody else to carry your burdens, they can't take those from you. But D groups, friendships, when somebody else can help just carry those things for you, it just lightens the load for a little bit. It means he has some of the weight, and so do I. I wish you could stay up here, but I'll let you go ahead and sit with your wife. You get that. So listen, for some of you in this room, I just would say this. There's two things that we can do with our burdens. Number one is this, Galatians 6:2. It says, bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So here's the deal. For anybody here who's carrying a burden right now, your group, your small group, your family, your neighbors, like whoever it is that you are tight with, but this church is supposed to help you bear your burdens with you. That's their job. And so I would say this, if you're carrying a burden, you need to be connected with some other people. If you're not carrying a burden right now, like Hannah was carrying this, it was overtaking her, she didn't want to eat. If you are not carrying one right now, then are you helping somebody else carry their burden? Like I need somebody to help me carry this burden. Do you see that? So I would hope if you're not carrying one, you'd be helping somebody else. But listen, is that what happened this day at the temple? Did Hannah come and she has her burden and she's like, hey, Eli, psst, he's a priest. Help me carry this for a little bit. Was that? You see, there's, I would say, a better scripture. It was just another scripture. There's bear each other's burdens, but look at Psalm 55:22. It says this, and this is what Hannah did. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Or cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Listen, I think this is what Hannah did that day. She took her burdens and she set them before the Lord, maybe on the altar that day. And she experienced some type of freedom. Maybe that's because she thought the answer was coming, or maybe she was just able to get rid of that had been on her for so long. And listen, I'm not saying today that that's some easy thing. It's easier to talk about than that. But I just wonder if today that the Lord might bring freedom from some things we've been carrying for a long, 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 long time, and that we may be able to get freedom from those today, because Hannah did in her day. Freedom, because they cast their burden on the Lord. Okay, she took her burdens to the Lord. Number three is this, she committed her child to the Lord. She committed her child to the Lord. Here's verse 27 and 28. It says this, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. My son Hudson, you don't remember this because you were like 6 months old, but when we dedicated you 13 years ago up here, that was our verse for you. Just like Samuel, we're like, God gave us a boy. He's yours, Lord, for whatever he would use you as. That was the verse. And that's what Hannah did. She had prayed. She's like, Lord, I just want a child. If you would give me a child, I'll give him back to you and send him to the temple. I don't know if she wanted to kind of renege on that when she finally had him in her arms going, like, I promise that. But she went through with her promise and she gave him back to the Lord. So what she did physically is gave him back. I'll just say this in case you're thinking this. Please don't bring your children to the church. Unless you want us to pray over them on the stage, and then we will send them back with you. She, in a very physical sense, gave her child to the Lord to live at the temple and to live with Eli and to live there serving the Lord all of her days. Can I just say this to the parents in the room? Committing my life to the Lord was a lot easier than committing my child to the Lord. And actually, it was okay up here. It's later on when my kids have asked, hey, can we go to Guatemala for the summer and do missions? I mean, I committed them to the Lord, right? My daughter, months ago, said, hey, I have this, like, really felt like the Lord was leading her to go to Europe, like on this discipleship journey going from church to church and that. And I'm just going to be real with you for a minute. Have any of the dads in the room seen Taken? I'm thinking, okay, you're going to be backpacking through as a 17-year-old through Europe and going, but have I committed her to the Lord? Have I said, Lord, I believe that you watch over her more than I do? Committing them to the Lord. When we were pregnant with Emily, a good friend of mine who was also a pastor, J.D. Tomlin was his name. They had three kids. They were pregnant with a fourth. We were pregnant with Emily. And one time I asked him, I said, so are y'all having a boy or a girl? And he goes, we don't know. We're just going to get a surprise. And I said, oh, so I guess you guys are just praying for a healthy baby? And he said, no. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, our first baby was born with a little bit of a blood disorder. The second one was born with something else. And you know what, really? We've never been closer to the Lord in those times. So we're just saying, Lord, whoever you want to give us, we'll take. Good for him. I wasn't there yet. Committing our children, committing our stage to the Lord, that's not just a one-time thing, right? When our girls decided they wanted to go to Central High School, right? Lord, they're yours. Are they going to be influenced more, or are they going to be more influencers? You see, dedicating your child is not just a one-time deal. Committing them to the Lord. For maybe this would apply to some of you. You know, my mom and my dad, they divorced when I was young. My mom took us to church and prayed for us. My dad was probably just the opposite. So at my dad's house, there were no rules. And people lived as they wanted to. And so we were exposed to all sorts of things from a very young age. And my mom knew that. So she had to trust the Lord with me. When she would give half of her time, I mean, I was half of my time, I was at a home where I was, it was not a good influence. She had to commit me to the Lord to know that and ask the Lord for greater influence over me, that maybe the Lord would write a different story than all that I was watching. I know that there's some people in here, and when that your children, when they go with step-parents or maybe a spouse that's not on the same page or in a less than ideal situation or not the school that you would choose, commit them to the Lord. For some of you who are single parents, and you long for the ideal mom and dad, and you get to be both, commit them to the Lord, for he is enough for where you're lacking. I'm just saying this, committing to the Lord, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. If I can just make a confession real quick, I think Mother's Day sermons are supposed to be light and airy. We're supposed to be like, give you your like Mother's Day hug. I'm sorry if it's a little heavy today. I just don't think motherhood's all that light sometimes in life. And as I started looking at Hannah's life, it is where we are. And so she committed her child to the Lord. The fourth one, she put him around the things of the Lord. I'm going to let you can read that and study that. But I'll just say this. My mom was at my dad's house and with all of my extended family. We were not good examples. She would get like the children's minister and say, hey, would you take my son fishing? Hey, would you spend time with him? Hey, youth pastor, would you do that? And she would set us up with all sorts of other couples who love Jesus. And so even early on, I saw a stark difference. And I would just say, if you value that, please put your kids around other people who love Jesus, whether that's their small group leader, if that's our student ministry, if that's our children, if that's other people that you know, just give them a picture of that. That's one of the things that Hannah did, but I'll let you guys study that on your own. The very fifth thing I want to be able to say today, and we'll close here, the Lord worked in and through Hannah and Samuel. In this story, the Lord worked in and through Hannah and Samuel. You can read in chapter 3, but the word of the Lord was very rare. Like, it was very evil times, and the Lord was not speaking all that often. There's one person who we have recorded that was hearing from the Lord at that time, and you know who it was? Samuel. This little boy who was dedicated from the Lord. And so just hear this. Samuel means heard by God. So when she finally, after praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, she's gifted Samuel. She just names him that, heard by God. That's Samuel. So listen, heard by God would soon be the one who would hear from God. Heard by God, Samuel would soon be the one who would hear from God. And I would just say this, that may not always be the outcome in our life, but let's just sit in it for a moment. She places him in the Lord's hands after being in such distress, and he becomes one who hears from God. Parents, may we commit to pray and to fast and to live in such ways that would honor the Lord, that would give a picture of the Lord, that maybe our kids one day would hear from him. Maybe they would grow up reading and listening and hearing from him. I'm telling you, in the homes that I was in, I did not have much hope. But my mom continually prayed. She continually read through the Bible every single year. And I just started seeing a difference. The Lord opened my eyes, and I became a story like Samuel. Let us pray to that end. But let me just say one other thing. Maybe that hasn't been the ending for your story so far. I realize that. Notice this story of Hannah and Samuel. This isn't a formula saying that if you pray and you commit them to the Lord, then everything works out and they walk into the sunset. This is a picture of someone who's in distress, giving it to the Lord and trusting him that he would take care of them better than he could. Maybe it's less about being the perfect parent. Maybe today this is more a message just about resting on his faithfulness. If I could challenge you at all, not making light of your burdens, maybe it doesn't always work out the way that we could see it. But listen, in this story, what we do know is that Hannah lays her burdens down before the Lord, and he is faithful. And he does a work in her and through her. He does a work in Samuel and through Samuel. I just want to say this today. Our God is faithful. And so really, as we get to close our time, I don't want to say everything turns out perfect. I want to say trust him. I want to say, would you, this burden that you're carrying, would you take that and put it on to the Lord? Would you give it to him? Cast your burden on him, and he will sustain you. Maybe today there would be freedom for some of us here in this place, whereas some of us would just relish in the joy of what he's given us. Or some of us may be challenged to commit once again our children to the Lord because they don't belong to us. They're just lent to us. What would the Lord have for you today? For our last song, I'm going to ask the band to come on up here. We're going to sing maybe what, if it was written back then, what Hannah would have sung. But it's 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. So I would say as this sings, some of you in this room can sing it with all of your heart, and we pray that you would, because there's some people who are struggling with that, and they need to hear your voice. Some of us today, we need to lay that down. Some of us in here, it has been good. Praise the Lord for you moms, for all that you carry, all the burdens that you carry from your children. Praise you, like we bless you today. Thank you for what you do. But I just wonder for us who are carrying burdens today, if today may be a freedom to sing this song and to lay our burdens down. Would you pray with me? King Jesus, you said children are a blessing from the Lord. We thank you for them. For many of us, a lot of us in here, that's been the gift you've given us. God, so we say thank you. Thank you that you would take somebody even like Hannah and in her distress, and you would answer her. You would work in her. You would allow her to lay her burdens down at your feet. God, if you people need to do that today, I pray that they would. God, if there's some of us in this room, we just need to recommit our kids to the Lord. We say that, Lord, they're not ours. They belong to you. And we say that we will trust you, that they'd be better in your hands than even in ours. So we hand them over to you, and we say that we trust them with you. Would you do great things in and through our children, and great things in and through us? So God Almighty, would you be that which is lacking in us? Would you be our healer? Would you be our provider? Would you be our wisdom? For the parents in this room who don't know always how to lead, would you lead us as we lead our families? God Almighty, would you bring rest? Would you bring freedom from us carrying our burdens all alone? So Lord Jesus, we come before you and we say, it is sweet to trust you, King Jesus. It is sweet just to take you at your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577. And a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.